Good to see everyone here this morning. Hope you had a great week. If you're going to follow along this morning, and I encourage it, Psalm 46 is where we're going to be, starting in verse 8. Now, a young man fresh out of business school answered a want ad for an accountant. Now, he had been interviewed by a very nervous man who ran a small business that he had started himself. I need someone with an accounting degree, the man said, but mainly I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me. Excuse me, the accountant said. I worry about a lot of things, he said, but I don't want to have to worry about money. Your job will be to take all the money worries off my back. I see, said the accountant. How much does the job pay? He said, I'll start you out at $80,000. $80,000, the accountant exclaimed. How can such a small business afford a sum like that? And the owner looked at him and said, that is your first worry. You ever worry so much that you felt like you had to do something in life? Almost anything that seemed at least you were working on your problems and you just couldn't sit still or remain still. And you kind of wind up on what I call the treadmill of life. Hurrying and rushing about thinking that you're solving your problem. But in reality, you remain in the same place, no closer to the solution, and frazzled for your efforts. Now, David wrote in this 46th Psalm at a time when the Assyrian invasion of Judah. So he gave people of Israel some assurance of God's deliverance. Let's read our verses this morning in Psalm 46, starting in verse 8. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So we should take that assurance and know and take what David says here. To be still and take that time to know that God is sovereign and that God can do mighty things. In light of the assurance of our Almighty God's triumphs in the past, we should take time throughout our day of each week to be still and honor Him and to realize Him as a God of power, of love, and of sovereign control over all things. I encourage you when you pray to pray like David did and like Christ did. They first of all acknowledge how great and almighty our God is. They put that in their mind before they ask for the minor things of life. When we see a God that can do great and wonderful things, it's much easier to see Him acting on our behalf and getting us through this life. A young boy traveled by airplane to visit his grandparents, and he sat beside a man who happened to be a seminary professor. The boy was reading a Sunday school take-home paper when the professor thought he would have some fun with the lad. Young man, said the professor, if you can tell me something God can do, I'll give you a big shiny apple. The boy thought for a moment and then replied, Mister, if you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you a whole barrel of apples. So this child understood that nothing is impossible for God. And that's not to say that He's going to deliver us from every illness that befalls us. Soon something is going to take our life. I seen a joke one time and said, you know, there was a tombstone. And said he was never sick a day in his life. Well, I venture to say that he was probably wasn't feeling too good that last day. And there's going to come a day when we're going to leave this earth. But it's not for tears to come at that time, but for cheers as someone who is faithful walks with God now. All his or her problems are over with, and they walk with Him. So we may not necessarily be the richest person around walking with God. In fact, I bet you're not, because the prince of this world doesn't like you and me. And we may not see all the riches of this world. We may not experience the greatness of health that some do. But the one thing we can do is be still and know that God is going to deliver us from this someday. And that when this life is over, all things are bright, all things are beautiful, pain is going away. We don't hear of our loved ones suffering. We don't see our loved ones suffering. We don't have to go to their funerals anymore. We don't have to go through the illnesses our children have and we have and all the problems that may befall people in this world. It'll all be bliss. It'll all be peace. And we can stand still with God face to face. Every once in a while, the government issues another warning and elevates the terror alert to high alert to put the nation in a state of readiness for some attack by terrorists. We live at a time of high alerts and high anxiety. It seems to run at a fever pitch. And yet God gives us great assurance in our passage today. Even though war and destruction is around us, and we see it daily on the TV, the Lord is ultimately going to be victorious. He's going to be victorious over everything this whole world takes place in. And those who don't follow God will be punished. But you know what? No matter what happens to us, as the Bible says, if they take our life, they may take our physical life, but they can't take our spiritual life. That's the only thing we can give away. If we're victorious with God, then we've won the victory. And we leave with the assurance that God will be with us always and that He will take us home with Him. All we have to do is stand still and be quiet and listen to God. You know, Augustine, one of the early church leaders, was once accosted by a heathen who showed him an idol and he said, "Here's my God. Where is thine?" Augustine replied, "I can't show you my God, not because there is no God to show, but because you have no eyes with which to see Him." You know, we talked about in class this morning how some people, when the apostles were speaking in all their languages, some were amazed and some just made fun of them and said, "Oh, they're drunk." Well, the eyes we look at the world around us with are the eyes that can see God. When you can see God behind all the decisions in your life, when you trust God for all those decisions, when you wake up in the morning and see what He's created for you and me. And I know man has tainted it. He's destroyed so much of it. And there's so much evil in this creation that God made. But He did make it. And He made the universe. And if we stand still and look at it, we'll know that whatever problem we're experiencing, He can take care of it. Don't run around trying to look busy. Don't run around trying to solve your problems. Wait on God, and He'll meet you. As a quote someone once said, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Your best, your heavenly friend, through the thorny ways leads to a joyous end." Song sung by Elizabeth Elliot Leach, author of Through the Gates of Splendor, when she learned of the death of her husband, Jim Elliot, who was martyred trying to reach the Acuya Indians in Ecuador in 56. The following are several characteristics that we can honor God with if we'll take the time to be still and know Him. First of all, God is a refuge to us. We can praise God that He constantly offers reassurance during troubled times. David gives us a declaration of the power of God to overcome any calamity or problem that may happen to us. Perhaps the most famous verse in Psalm 46 is, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble." David trusted that, and God never let him down. Now we know, as you know, Acts said, and when Peter was talking to him, we know that David was buried in a tomb. We know that he, you know, found a time when he didn't carry on, when he didn't get over his illnesses. But that is just for us to transition into something better. In this life that we have, for as long as we have it, God walks with us. And whatever problems we have are there for the glory of God, that we may be tested and tempted and tried and proven faithful to God. So that this world, when it says it was too hard, God can say it wasn't too hard for this person. It wasn't too hard for that person. But despite all the problems, they get through it. You know, for the Christians that are in China, who are experiencing these floods and losing loved ones and losing their own lives, if they're faithful Christians, they know where they're going. If they're suffering because of it, they know that God will help meet their needs. And this happens over and over with each calamity. Bad things happen to good people because of the world we live in. Because man has sought his own pleasure. And Satan has prodded him along and got him to believe that there isn't any God. So we need to always look to the problems we have. That God's not going to remove us from the problem. He's not going to take us out of the storm. But He's going to get us through the storm. He's a reassurer. We can praise God that He keeps reminding us of His power. And we need to remind ourselves of His power. That whatever happens, He is going to take care of it. You know, a stress-free life, everyone would like to have that. Enough money, enough health, and all that. Well, too much comfort can be dangerous. Now, researchers at the University of California at Berkeley did an experiment some time ago that involved introducing an amoeba into a perfectly stress-free environment. Temperature was ideal, had the optimal concentration of moisture, it was just perfect, constant food supply, and the amoeba had to make no adjustments at all. It was just perfect. Like, I guess, being in an air-conditioned house with plenty of food in front of us. We'd be happy. So you would guess that this would be a content little amoeba. Whatever it is that gives amoebas ulcers and high blood pressure, that's all gone. Well, yet oddly enough, it died. Apparently, there's something in all living creatures, even amoebas, that demands challenge. We require change and adaptation and challenge the way we require food and air. Comfort alone will kill us. And that reminded me of a story. You know, I heard once long ago, and I guess it's one of those sage wisdoms that, you know, father gave to me. You know, some person they knew that worked hard all their life, retired. He sat on his porch for 3 months, rocking in a chair, and then promptly died. You know, we need exercise. We need to exercise our bodies, our brains. We need to keep things going. And a certain amount of stress is beneficial to us. It keeps us where we need to be. But too much stress is also bad for us. John Ortberg wrote a book, If You Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. He said, when teachers want students to grow, they don't give them the answers. They give them the problems. You know, like if a train leaves Cleveland at 3, going 50 miles an hour, when does it get somewhere? It's only when the process of accepting and solving problems that our ability to think creatively is advanced. Enhanced. Our persistence is strengthened and our self-confidence is deepened as we solve problems. If someone gives you the answers, you may get a good score on a test, but it's not going to get you ahead in life. We need challenges, and we all face challenges, some more than others, and in time, you know, to flip around where those other ones have more challenges than that. But we all need challenges to help us to grow, to help us to have faith. I know the challenges in my life have drawn me closer to God. Not that I enjoy going through them, I don't look forward to them, but in the end, they draw me closer to God, to have more faith for Him. He's the resolver of conflict. Nothing is too difficult for God. If we'll pray and trust Him, we can get through the conflict out there. You know, we did great work with the churches in Katrina and everything that happened in 2005. And I was reading just the other day that, you know, many of these churches had split and divided over the ministry and the help that they gave to people out there. But we need to learn that God is greater than all these things. He's a resolver of conflict. If we'll love our brothers and sisters, we can work through these things and not have these things happen. Jesus said to the howling winds and waves, peace be still, and the winds died down, and they became perfectly calm. Such a verse we read so much in Mark 4, verse 34 through 37. And we think of that verse when we think about the storms of life. Now, He'll give us peace in that storm of life if we'll just let Him, if we'll wait on Him and be still. He resets our lives. He gives us new chances as we go through life. He's also a revealer. He reveals Himself to us in the times that He gets us through these problems. Every step of the way, if we want to see God, from the moment we wake up and view the outside world and the creation He's made, to all the times He's helped us out in this life, we can be still and let God work in our lives. And He'll give us the answer. He'll find a way. The right doors will be open. And again, we will get through our problems, no matter what they might be. Now, Jesus said it best. He who has My command to keep them, He it is who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love them and will reveal Myself to him. John 14:21. If we'll keep His command, He is true to us. Now, does that mean life is going to be a bed of roses? Doesn't mean everything's going to be great from here on out. But it will mean that each day that you face the storms of life, there will be a calm and a peace within you that transcends that. That even though we're going 100 miles an hour inside, we're at peace. We're standing still and we're waiting for God's answer. And God can change us. He can change us as we need to be. If we'll just let Him, reading His Word, studying His Word, learn what people went through, learn those things we need to learn, in order that we too might know we're not alone in our problems, that those problems are faced by many, and they always will be as long as we live in this world. Only when we're removed from this world, only when we receive our reward, will we walk with God in His presence, and none of the problems of this world will ever affect us again. It's something great to look forward to. He provides us with the resources we need to get through life. He gives us everything in life that we need. Sometimes we'd like a little bit more, but we always get what we need. You know, presently 2/3 of the world are yet to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. Yet Jesus told His disciples, "I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Matthew 16:18. Let's take our time and our energies to build up that kingdom as we grow in Christ, as we study to show ourselves approved, as we study so that maybe someone we can bring a little comfort to in their trials of life, that we can encourage them that there's a better way than following this whole world pattern, a better way than following that. So, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people to be reached. And in China, even though it's a terrible thing that happens, there's always the opportunity that may open doors. And we need to be open to those things, whatever it may be. So, let's ask the Lord to help us to do all we can to help those who are downtrodden, who need the gospel, along with a little help. Bring them a little love of Christ, so that we might share the gospel of Christ with them. You know, a little boy was eagerly looking forward to a birthday party that a friend was having. And he lived only a few blocks away, but on that day, the blizzard showed up, and many of the sidewalks and roads were nearly impassable. The little boy's father, he kind of sensed the danger. He hesitated to let his son go, but the youngster reacted cheerfully, "But Daddy," pleaded, "all the other kids will be there. Their parents are letting them go." So his father finally relented, and he said, "Okay, you may go." The little boy was surprised, but he went out, and he bundled up, and he went out in the storm and made his way to his little friend's house, and took him more than half an hour just to travel such a short way. But as he rang the doorbell, he noticed a figure slip away into the storm. And he recognized it as his father. He had followed his son every step of the way to make sure he arrived there safely. You know, rushing about never solved any problems. stressing out never shorten the time that we experience problems. Be still and know that God loves us and that He's watching over us as a father watches over a child, and that He has the answers and solutions that we seek in life. And if we'll seek Him, He'll give us the calm that can only come from an understanding of God. I don't know what your condition is this morning or if you have need of the church. Whatever it may be, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?